Would you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations in all our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength, our song, and our salvation. Amen.
Thanks. So just a moment ago, before that long poem, during that long poem, we were hearing about the baby Jesus. We sang about the baby Jesus, gathering around the stable, all of us did, in that little town of Bethlehem where he was born. And then we hear the scripture from Luke today, and whiplash, Jesus is 12 and causing his parents a world of worry. The tinsel is still on the tree, and Jesus is teaching his teachers in this temple. So how did this change happen so fast? You know this. We blink, and our children are grown. Perhaps no time during the year is that more apparent than at Christmas. The family traditions we share, the photographs taken by the tree or with the stocking year by year, the way we set our tables annually, all these rituals provide a time capsule of sorts. We open it each year with our box of decorations, even as we get out the favored ornament that has been with us since our own childhood, we become aware in that moment of all that has changed, all that has been both lost and gained since we put the boxes back into the attic last year. Last year, Mom was still sitting at the table. This year, we have a college student returning rather than a kid at home. Last year, the stockings were full. This year, they're empty since no one's traveling because of COVID. Remember when the children woke you up at 5 a.m. to come downstairs, or when you did that yourself? And now, you've had your second cup of coffee before you even hear them stirring. We return to tell and to hear the Christmas story each year in part because we need to remember in the midst of all our changes that the gift of God, the gift of love that God sent us in Jesus remains true throughout years and across continents. We return to hear and tell the story each year in the midst of all our changes because we need to remember that Jesus comes to us and yet is not bound by our traditions and not limited by our rituals. The love of God comes to us in person, no matter who is or isn't at the table, whether the lights go up on the house or not, regardless of what hymns we do or do not sing. Jesus is still being born for us wherever and however we celebrate or not. Just like with our own children, though, it is easy for us to romanticize and get stuck on Jesus' infancy. It is tempting to keep him in that stage, in the gentle light of the star over Bethlehem, when he was just a baby, non-threatening, mostly sleeping, when he was still easily portable and didn't talk back. Some of our favorite carols are lullabies, in fact. We just want Jesus to keep asleep. Sometimes even the cry to keep Christ in Christmas, on its face a good thing, is actually a veiled intention to simplify God into something that we can contain within the borders of a nativity scene on a card. Today's scripture doesn't afford us that luxury. Instead, we jump without any warning from Luke's birth narrative to this story of Jesus as a preteen. And just like seeing your own now college-aged son arrive home with facial hair, it's a little jarring. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, has become independent Jesus, curious Jesus, studious, insightful, and wise Jesus, a prodigy hanging out with the teachers in the temple. He's also become, to be quite honest, a little snippy with his parents. And it seems that he's at least clueless, if not downright insensitive, to their obviously reasonable concerns. "Why were you searching for me?" he asks. "Really?" To be fair, though, Jesus, in this passage, is acting in an absolutely developmentally appropriate way in this moment. He is testing his limits. He's expanding his connections. He's creating his own circle of influences around and outside his immediate family. And this is how growth happens, for Jesus just as for any child. It is as marvelous as it is painful, and as hoped for as it is dreaded. I remember a coworker of mine years ago, exasperated by her children in their tweens, saying that she preferred when they were in what she called the suitcase stage, when she could just pick them up and take them wherever she wanted without them ever talking back. And when my own children were not long out of that suitcase stage, I read an article by Barbara Kingsolver entitled "Civil Disobedience at Breakfast." Kingsolver describes her loving parental intentions to raise a daughter who can think clearly and speak for herself, and then realizes, with irony, how her lament sounds when her two-year-old does exactly that at breakfast one day. Children are meant to grow and to change, and it is a tragedy when that growth is hindered or cut short. Jesus was meant to grow and to change too. Even though, as the C.S. Lewis poem alludes to, the arrival of Jesus the Christ into our world was both anticipated and felt by the entire cosmos, God chose to come to us not as a fully matured adult, but as a fully human baby, squalling into the world in blood, sweat, and tears, just like the rest of us, with the chance to learn and grow and make mistakes and go through growth spurts and awkward stages, just like the rest of us. Jesus was a baby, and then a toddler, and a child, and a student. And then one day, his parents didn't know where he was, and when they did find him, blink, they hardly recognized him because it seemed he had grown up overnight. There are many theological reasons for Luke placing this story at the beginning of his gospel, between the birth narratives and some 30 years later, Jesus' baptism, that was the starting point for his public ministry. This story centers Jesus in the temple, which Luke uses thematically throughout his gospel. It shows Jesus' unquestioned connection to his Jewish faith in his annual observance of the Passover in Jerusalem, and his deep, nuanced understanding of the Torah even before he was 13 and at the age of his bar mitzvah. Placing Jesus in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover also hints at the messianic authority that will rest on him fully later on, and at the sword that will pierce Mary's heart at his crucifixion, as the prophet Simeon had proclaimed during Jesus' first time in Jerusalem as a baby, when his parents had brought him to dedication in the temple. That's all the first century background for setting for this little vignette of a story which lands on our lap today. It is rich and full and challenging, and I imagine for you, as it was for me as I pulled out the lectionary for today, not at all what I thought we would hear on this day after Christmas in the year of our Lord, 2021. But there is good news here, and it is this. Today's gospel reminds us that Jesus grew up. Yes, the Christmas story is both vital and renewing as we hear how God came to be one of us in the most humble of ways. God's incarnation makes everything about our faith, both intimately personal and globally relevant. To say that the creator of the stars of night knows in flesh and muscle and bone and spirit what our human pains and joys are is mind-blowing and foundational for how we then are to see the world. But in order for that Christmas story really to have teeth, it's critical to remember that Jesus did not stay in the stable. And to the consternation of many around him, and his parents included, as we just heard, he didn't stay in what others thought was his lane either. He questioned his own traditions and rituals as he grew. He pushed boundaries and defeated expectations with every step. He called despised tax collectors to his side and ate with them. He talked with women in public. He touched lepers and returned them to community. He turned over tables of profiteers in the temple. He washed the feet of his disciples and welcomed prostitutes to dinner. Even as he was dying on the cross, he spoke words not of vengeance or pain, but of forgiveness and welcome. And even as a stone was rolled across the cave where he was buried, that stone could not keep Jesus in the tomb of death. Maybe that feels like we're getting ahead of the story. The tinsel is still on the tree, and now Jesus is not only grown and gone, but dead and resurrected. How did that happen so fast? We blink. And Jesus is grown. Christmas is not just about Jesus becoming a baby, but about God becoming a person who knew God had called him and had called him to be himself in the world, a person who knew what that calling was like in his heart, and walked his whole life in those uneasy footsteps. Jesus was a person who revealed new meaning in old texts, who understood that loving others, especially marginalized others, is the core of what loving God is about. He was a person who knew that love and justice go hand in hand, who healed people in body and soul by seeing them for who God made them to be, a person who upset religious and governmental authorities alike, by seeing them not at the top of some heap, but in the larger picture of God's wide welcome. A person, as the creche at our center makes clear, whose entire life was overshadowed, or perhaps crowned, by a cross. Christmas is about God coming to us as a person who embraced life and faced death fully and embodied the message that we need not be afraid of either. Christmas is about God coming to us as a person who called his followers to walk in that way too, uneasy as it is at times. So yes, on this day after Christmas, let us treasure our time at the manger. But let us also allow Jesus to grow up, because without that, we can't grow up into who God made us to be either. Merry day after Christmas, friends. Keep your eyes open. God is not nearly done with us yet. Amen. Amen. Amen.